Skagway residents weigh in on the voting district mapping process, and the Chilkoot Indian Association breaks down some of their current community projects. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Mike Swayze. Those stories are up next. The Independent Alaska Redistricting Board held a special meeting on Wednesday for Skagway residents to voice their opinions on plans for updated voting districts. Those who participated overwhelmingly voiced support for plans connecting Skagway with downtown Juneau. Redistricting happens in the United States every 10 years following the release of the National Population Census. The Alaska Redistricting Board maintains equal voting blocks by taking the overall population of the state and dividing it by 40. That's the number of congressional House districts in Alaska. That number comes out to about 18,000 voters per district. Skagway has long been in the same House district as Haines, downtown Juneau, and Douglas Island. However, some of the newly proposed maps being considered by the board would rearrange voting lines to align Skagway with Auk Bay and the Mendenhall Valley. Skagway resident and business owner Janilyn Hager doesn't agree with those plans.
I just would like to voice a concern that you might change the district of Skagway so that we're not in communities similar to ours. We are dependent on our cruise ship activity and more similar to downtown Juneau. And I'd like to see us stay in a district that is dependent on cruise ships like ours, so the decisions we make are like-minded.
Another Skagway small business owner, Ian Hayes, grew up in the Mendenhall Valley and also voiced support to remain in the same district as downtown Juneau.
I was there from the ages of 1 to 23, and the lifestyle, socioeconomic situation, all the things that the two different communities need are not the same, being Skagway and the Mendenhall Valley. So as much as we can keep Skagway tied into downtown Juneau, I think that would be beneficial.
There were about a dozen speakers at the Zoom meeting that included local municipal leaders and residents largely in favor of keeping Skagway in the same district as downtown Juneau. One commentator, local lodge owner Kathy Hosford, however, voiced her support for a geographically based approach.
Geography is very important. All of the small towns that have a port have cruise ships. But as far as transportation corridors and having similar issues, I truly believe that Haines and Skagway need to be a part of the Northern Lynn Canal, the north part of Juneau.
The state constitution does call for consideration to be given to local census boundaries and says that drainage and geographic features shall be used in describing boundaries wherever possible. There are several choices on the table for the redistricting board to consider, and they have until November 10th to finalize a plan. Another open meeting will be held for anyone in the state to voice their opinion from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 30th. The toll-free statewide number to join is 844-586-9085. You can also submit your opinion at akredistrict.org. The Chilkoot Indian Association has a number of community initiatives in the works, focused on storm disaster recovery, food security, cultural and economic development, and more. KHNS's Corinne Smith checked in with Tribal Administrator Harriet Brulette for an update on several ongoing community projects around Haines.
Thank you, Harriet, for joining us today. Can you talk a bit about the past couple of years, kind of how you got here?
Sure. When I first started working as a tribal administrator, the tribe was in financial dire straits. We were behind on our audits. We were behind on our reporting. And really, no one wanted to take on what looked like it could be the end of the tribe. But my initial thought was that it would take us about 4 to 5 years to complete the back audit and to get ourselves into a transparent position with the federal government. That happened in 3 years rather than 4 to 5. And that in itself is a major accomplishment.
Okay, so the food box program, can you tell us a bit about that and how it's kind of grown over this last few months?
Sure. So this program is something that we signed up with. It's a program through the USDA. It was set up actually to run in lieu of the food stamp program on reservation lands. And what it does is provide food for families who may be struggling. And in our community, we're lucky enough to be able to provide the food to any low-income family or any family in need who applies, whether they're tribal members or not. The last time I checked, we had 50 families. So the program offers a wide variety of food items, and we offer things such as beef and pork, fish, chicken, turkey. What they're trying to do now is to become, to offer us foods that are more regional. So rather than sending us like buffalo and catfish, they'll send us salmon and elk meat.
Wow.
Yeah, so they try to provide some traditional foods in, but since the program is fairly new in Alaska, we have been getting some exotic foods, which is, it's fun, you know, trying buffalo meat and trying catfish are interesting. We get fruit too. We get pears, apples, oranges, various other fruits, mm-hmm. eggs, milk.
That's great. Okay. Storm recovery assistance. So can you talk a bit about the project work now and what is the focus now?
The focus now is definitely rebuilding. We have, over the last year, have spent time monitoring and assessing damage and monitoring as far as mold. There are homes that were water damaged, but it seemed a few months ago they were fine, but now people are finding that they are growing mold. So what we are doing right now is focused mainly on helping people to rebuild. And most of the projects are fairly small. There are a few larger projects that we have been working with the long-term recovery group on. So the funds that come to our community are a blend of funding from various different agencies or organizations. And PIA just happens to be one of a few that are pitching in to help with recovery. We were lucky enough last month to have Team Rubicon in Haines to help with some of the demolition. Team Rubicon will be coming back to town in November to help with rebuilding at least two homes in our community and possibly more.
Yes, that is great news. Is there anything else you'd like to add or things coming up that you'd like to share with the community?
Yeah, our trail system is open for use. People are more than welcome to walk or ride their bike on our wonderful little trail system in the subdivision. But just caution people right now to be a little bit careful because it's slippery and there are still bears and moose in that area. If somebody runs into an issue where it's too slippery or there's a tree down across the trail, I would request respectfully that folks come into the office and let us know so that we can take care of it immediately. We're more than happy to make sure the trail is clear and safe.
Thank you so much, Harriet. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Of course, anytime.
That was Harriet Brulette, Tribal Administrator with the Chilkoot Indian Association, speaking with KHNS's Corinne Smith. Tune in next week for part two of their conversation on the tribe's upcoming projects, including a new waterfront restaurant, tourism recovery plans, and Tlingit language revitalization. For KHNS News, I'm Mike Swayze. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also subscribe to or follow KHNS News anywhere you get your podcasts.